Welcome to Mortified, the Friendship Quest, a podcast where two long-distance friends bounce media recommendations, all in hopes the other will like it. I'm Aaron.
And I have the looks and personality of old drywall.
That's why we like you. And this week, we get pumped for March Madness with Kuroko's Basketball. Before we reminisce about our weirdly charged middle school sports team, remember you can help us on Mortify the Legitimacy Quest by subscribing to us on YouTube, iTunes, or Spotify, setting up... Just following us on Tumblr, at Mortified Pod. Got that muscle memory.
Yeah, you do. Also, leave us a review. We should put that in the intro script.
Yeah, leave us a review. We're a good and funny podcast. Yes. Layla.
Aaron.
How do you feel about the sport of basketball?
The sport of basketball I have no feelings about. However, the basketball that Kuroko plays...
Here's the thing I looked up while while I was watching the show is the Japanese translation of the title of the show is Kuroko no Basuke, which is just Kuroko's Basketball, which why did they call it the basketball which Kuroko plays in the title card of the English dub?
I don't know, but it's funny every single time.
It's incredible.
Over the course of, I watched 16 episodes and you watched all 26, never not funny.
It's hysterical. This is a good program. We have a lot of quibbles with it, but I had a lot of fun with it. I'll say it's like, as far as, you know, basketball goes, I recently moved back from Indiana. I spent 10 years in Indiana. Indiana is a huge basketball state. You know, and actually my alma mater for the first time in a long time is probably going to make the NCAA tournament. Ooh. So shout out Sycamores. So very excited for that tournament, but that's kind of why we wanted to talk about basketball.
More concisely, March Madness.
March Madness specifically, yeah. But you know, longtime listeners will remember we did a sports sampler almost maybe 3 years ago. It's been a long time. It's been 2 to 3 years.
We've been doing this podcast for so long.
It's been a long fucking time.
Oh my God.
But we did that sports sampler. We watched that one soccer game, Tsubasa, Captain Tsubasa.
Yeah. Oh, I can't believe you remember the name, because I was thinking about it. I could not recall it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it wasn't that memorable, unfortunately.
No.
We watched... Yomushi Pedal, and we watched this, and yes. This one was the most insane out of all three of them, so we wanted to keep watching and see how that goes.
Yeah, you know, this one, I think Yomushi Pedal was the best one of the ones that we watched, and right. We were just talking about maybe if we have time going back and watching some more of that one, because it truly was just delightful. But this one, listen, it captured our attention because we could not figure out in the episodes that we watched if the titular Kuroko was a ghost or not.
Yeah, I mean, they do literally call him a phantom multiple times in this show.
I was pretty convinced that Kagami was the only person that could see him for a very long time.
Listen,
but
that,
he is corporeal.
Yes, that's a very different anime that they should make. But
I pitched it to you in my notes. I'm willing to repitch it on air.
Yeah, that's yes. No, I agree. You should, because nobody can see him except for one person like halfway through the season, and then it's a big deal. They're like,
yes.
They're in the bathroom, right? He is pissing with someone, and then the guy comes in and sees him, and he's like, "Oh, you're peeing with an upperclassman. That seems cool." And it's one, a wild thing to say, but also that's where they're like, oh, this guy can actually see Kuroko, which is an interesting thing.
Yeah, with his hawk eyes, not eagle. Yeah,
not eagle eye. This show's wild. So because this is like a, you know, 25, 26 episodes of anime, it's not going to be possible for us to summarize all of it. So we're just going to kind of hit some of the major points and talk through some bits that happen and then kind of broaden out into a discussion, which is a little bit typical or atypical of our normal format. So
it's
bear with us.
It's typical of our old format.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this is a little throwback episode.
Mm-hmm. We start with Seirin High School.
That we do.
And basically, you know, we got folks signing up for the basketball club, and we're introduced to Kagami, Taiga Kagami specifically. He's a Japanese player who just came back from America. He lived in America for a couple years, and now he's back and ready to play basketball. And he's like this huge, because this is high school, the youngest among them is 15 and the oldest is like 18. So you got to remember in the rest of the episode that these are all teenagers. And a lot of the stuff that they're talking about that happened beforehand was when they were in middle school. So like between the ages of 12 and 14.
But they talk about it with the gravitas of like World War One.
Yeah, they it's weird. It's very weird.
They're all veterans of middle school basketball.
Yeah, truly. But like, we also get introduced to Kuroko, the protagonist, this blue haired little ghost boy. And he, like, initially Kagami doesn't like him. They kind of like, you know, have beef. Kagami's like, this kid can't make a basket. Why is he on the basketball team? It's only later that Kagami learns that Kuroko, his special ability is passing super, super good and also being invisible. People are like, oh, I thought you're supposed to have five people on the court. Where's your fifth man? And Kuroko's already on the court being like, I'm over here. he's really funny. But yeah, any thoughts on that first intro before they go up against Kisei?
So the homoerotic tension between Taiga and Tetsu is immediate and potent and only gets worse. I think we should just establish that a lot of sports anime kind of tend to have, because there's not a lot of girls on boys' sports anime programs.
Right.
So it gets gay really quick, and we just need to establish that before we get into the rest of their relationship.
Yeah, there's a bit after they start to become, but it's actually, I think, like before they're even friends, where Kuroko says to Kagami, you know, I am a shadow, the brighter the light that shines, the stronger I become. And he's like, let me be your shadow. He says this to Kagami.
It's giving Kingdom Hearts. It's
fellas.
It's giving Riku summoning Sora in the middle of the darkness while they're fighting Aqua.
Yeah, it's a little much, but that's shonen. But then their first like real basketball game is against this high school called Kaijo, in which a 15-year-old model named Kisei,
I love Kisei,
shows up. And Kisei's great. His whole ability is being able to copycat people.
Mm-hmm.
And like the thing that we're introduced to him by him coming to beg Kuroko to come play for his team, which is really funny. And Kuroko's like, no, we're not friends.
Kisei rules. There's a couple things we didn't establish. One, Seirin High School sucks. They are not a good basketball team. We should establish that.
They're a new school. Yeah.
They're a new school, but they're not very good yet. Their coach is a student. They don't even have like a real coach.
Yeah.
and then on top of that, Kuroko comes from something called the Generation of Miracles, which is these 8 middle school players who are just so good that they got like national 6 attention. And so Kuroko is one of the Generation of Miracles. And then so is Kisei. And then there's a third metatextual layer to this that I would like to introduce, which is that some of the Generation of 8 are fine. Kisei, you know, some of them are fine. Some of them are basketball perverts. I think Kuroko is fine. Kisei is a basketball pervert.
Interesting. Why do you think Kisei is a basketball pervert?
Man, did you not watch like 6 episodes of him in the stands? That boy is way too into basketball.
That's true. Kisei is very weird. I think there's basketball perverts, like parentheses enthusiast, and then basketball perverts parentheses like better than Michael Jordan, which is Aomine, who we'll get to in a bit. And yeah, it's weird. All these 15-year-olds are better than like anybody that's ever played for the NBA, which is really weird.
Yeah, it's great. You know who? Well, they're just
we gotta
put a pin on it until we meet Aomine. Anyway, so we get into the Kisei match.
Yep. I mean, like, basically at first Kisei is like pretty good and he's like copying all of Kagami's moves, and then is this where they start doing the like the special passes?
Not yet, I don't think.
Okay,
or
I don't think
the end
so
of the game
either.
Maybe.
Yeah, but like I think it's a pretty standard, like, okay, this was kind of tough. This is what one person on the Generation of Miracles plays like, but ultimately Kagami is able to beat him. Kagami is weirdly, like, actually the protagonist of this show, but This show is structured in such a strange way.
He is the basketball which Kuroko plays.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like, we'll talk about it. But yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, it's a completely fine, you know, series of episodes at which point Kisei is like, well, you know, I was beaten, but that's all right, because I'll come and get him next time.
Right.
But yeah, there's a bit after this where they find out their lineup, where they're going to play against the other schools. And there's a bit where they, like, you know, they're like doing a montage where they play against a bunch of other teams. There's one bit where they have to play against a Senegalese player, and it's like weirdly anti-foreign. But at some point they get to the next game against the another person who's from the Generation of Miracles, a kid called Midorima. Layla, do you want to talk about Midorima?
Midorima is a basketball pervert also. I love Midorima.
Yes, he's definitely a pervert.
Shintaro Midorima is just... So this is Shotoku. This is like the first really big multi-episode, like inner high preliminary basketball game that this school plays. And Midorima is their like ace, right? Every team, and especially, this isn't specific to Kuroko's basketball, but generally sports anime, especially with a lot of teams on it, if you can remember who their ace is, and usually one or two of the fun supporting characters and the color of their jerseys, you can tell them apart. So for Shotoku, Midorima is very tall and he has green hair and glasses, and he super believes in horoscopes. And has a lucky item for every game. So for this game, I think it was like a badger holding a basketball.
It's a raccoon holding a basketball.
It's a raccoon holding a basketball, and he puts it on the bench, and his teammates get so mad at him because it's taking up space on the bench. And he's like listening. If someone's like iPod or whatever fell out, because this anime takes place in 2010, because first episode came out in 2012. And it like is playing horoscopes out loud, and he's listening and like structuring his plays based on it. He's an incredible little bitch. He is just so sassy, and I'm obsessed with him because then every time he shows up to watch games, he also has a lucky.
Right. No, he's hilarious. He's a good side character. He's a little bit of a Vegeta, right? Where like you get the character that like you have to beat them first because they're evil at first, and then after you beat them, they kind of become friendly. So that's what happens with him, is that, you know, he's like this incredible, he's a sharpshooter, right? He makes like full court shots.
He's crazy.
And like a lot of their game is structured around trying to stop him from like making any shots, and eventually they do figure it out. You know, we start getting into Kagami's special ability, which is jumping super, super high. And like eventually they figure out how to block those. Also, the goalkeeping just doesn't exist in this game. I don't think there's not a rule against that. But like,
there's a lot of like. Listen, I don't know that much about basketball, but I played enough of a unit of it in high school over and over again that I remember a couple of key things you can't do. There's a lot of traveling in the show.
Oh yeah. Nobody gives a shit about dribbling in this show. Like,
there's just a lot of traveling, a lot of fouls.
I think it's a little bit like when in anime somebody is moving so fast you can't see them, and all the refs are just like, oh, I cannot see them moving because they're all superhumans. So
yeah, just fucking John Cena ass.
Yeah,
yeah, you can't
insane.
See me while traveling. It's very good.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I love Midorima as a character. He is so funny and like kind of a dick. But like, you know, once he's finally beaten, he comes around and like later on will like give Kagami some like rude but well-meaning advice.
Yeah, it's fun. This show has a couple of kind of asshole characters. Midorima really works for me. Aomine does not.
No, I think that's intentional. I think Aomine has to be a jerk and also the big bad.
I think... End of season one, I think we met potentially a bigger big bad, but we didn't get to like meet the purple hair person that passes by.
Yep, we'll talk about that too.
Oh boy!
But yeah. Anyway, yeah. Anything else about the Shotoku game that you want to hit before we move on to Momoi and Aomine?
Well, we should also, in the context of Momoi, we should also talk about the coach of Seirin, because we haven't really talked too much about Riko.
Yeah. How do you feel about Riko Ida? Notably, her special ability is being the Terminator.
Yeah, Riko is... What do the numbers mean, Aaron?
Yeah, sometimes... So her ability is that, like, her dad's a physical trainer. So, like, she can... When boys take their shirts off, she can see their physical strength, like, in a video game, like, literal numbers and stats, but also emojis pop up around their various muscle groups. And you know, you can see when she's doing that with Kagami, she's like, wow, these guys, you know, it's basically the Dragon Ball Z, like, scouter, right? Like, kind of
it
reading the power.
Almost literally that, yeah.
Right, like, reading the power levels and being like, okay. But when she does that for Kuroko, it's like, you know, like, 800 as opposed to Kagami's, like, 5,000. And she's like, wow, this guy sucks. and I don't know. It's really funny. Like,
it
if
is.
You're doing that... If you're in an anime and, like, you introduce power levels, you usually pay a lot of attention to that and flesh out that part. And, like in Dragon Ball Z, before power leveling, like, stopped mattering, like, they would go through and be like, oh, okay, you know, your average human is a 5, but, you know, Goku is, like, a 300. But then when he takes his weights off, he's, like, a 350. And, like, they would, like, kind of keep building up to that.
Until it got to be over 9,000.
Right, right. And then they stopped giving a shit because the numbers got really annoying and boring. But, like, it's a weird choice to give Ida this power. But, yeah, I mean, she's funny. Like, she's like, one of the two women in this show. You know, she's, like, the tough love coach who's, like, trying to motivate her boys. But also, like, doesn't know how to cook. It's, like... I don't think she's written well. She's very clearly written with, like, early 2000s, you know, a man trying to write a woman character and trying to make her cool, but also fun and failing badly.
Yeah.
But I like her as a character.
I like her too. She has an interesting romantic tension with the captain of the team, where it's not explicit, but they do act like a couple. Right. I like them a lot. Let's talk about Moe. Moe is the team manager of Team Toho, which is, like, the big bad team for the season.
Right.
And I like what Momoe becomes, but
right.
Momoe's intro sucks.
Yes, no, it blows because it's like, oh man, Kuroko, how'd you get such a smoking hot girlfriend? And he's like, I don't like her that much. Which
not
is funny.
My girlfriend. She just follows me around.
Kuroko deadpanning literally everyone is really funny. But yeah, her whole deal is like, oh, I know all of you people. I've studied all of you. And then she's like, and you, of course, are the coach with the B cup. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
She shows up in a bikini to their, like, practice in the pool. And, like, just to show how suggestible I am as an audience member, I saw the pool and I'm like, I want to go swimming. Like, just mm-hmm. immediately.
Great.
I was like, I wish to be in chlorinated water. She shows up to their little pool practice and is, like, flirting with Kuroko, and Kuroko's like, this is not happening. And then they start talking about Aomine, who we haven't, like, met yet. He's just kind of in the shadows, loitering. But as the season progresses and we start to see Momoe in the context of being a team manager and being at games, she used to work for the fucking FBI. She's nuts. She just stands there with a clipboard and she knows everything and she gives, like, dossiers on the teams. She's nuts. I love her very much. But it took a moment to get there because her intro was just such a mess.
No, yeah, like, that's really annoying. I do hate that they're like, we have two women in this show. One of them you're supposed to view sexually, and one of them you're supposed to view as a tough coach. Although there are some bits where the coach is like, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll kiss all you boys that way that you'll be motivated. A thing that actually literally does happen. And thankfully, all the boys are just like, that makes us feel worse, actually, which is, you know, it's very silly. But, like, they don't treat either of the women in the show very well.
No, neither of them can cook, though, which is fun.
Yes, that was fun.
There's a moment where they, and by the way, I came home to record this episode. On my way home, I stopped by the grocery store and bought lemons. I'm making that preserved lemon thing. That looks delicious.
Yay.
They do honey preserved lemons, and the two of the boys on each team, Seirin and Tohu, bring out this like beautiful tray of these like thinly sliced lemons and honey, and then the fucking girls, both Momoe and Riko, bring just this whole lemons drizzled in honey.
Yeah, it's really, really funny. Good. It's a great bit. But yeah.
They went against Midorima and Shotoku. That's
important. But like, after, you know, Momoe goes to like kind of observe them, she goes and talks to Almine. And Almine is this like dark blue haired monster of a player. He's like, you know, heavily foreshadowed to be like, you know, like the biggest, you know, strongest player ever. He's also part of the Generation of Miracles and went to that incredible middle school. I was looking some stuff up because like they talk about how like they have to adapt the warp of the game around him. There's a point where they're like, okay, Almine has, you know, scored 82 points on his own. Like every single you know, game that he plays in, they get over 100 points. If you were gonna guess, how many points? What is the most points that any one NBA player has scored in a basketball game in NBA history? What do you think that is?
In one game.
In one game.
120.
Close. It's 100 by Wilt Chamberlain.
Okay. Good job, Wilt.
What do you think LeBron James, most LeBron James has scored in a single? He recently actually hit, that's actually, yeah. He recently crossed 40K, I think, 40K lifetime points, Mr. James. But like, how many points do you think LeBron James has ever scored in a game?
So it's less than, what was it?
It's less than 100.
Less than 100. So I'm going to say 92.
It's 81.
Damn.
Which means that Almine is better than LeBron James. So this is what we're talking about. So yeah, this is Almine, and like one crucial thing, like character wise, is that
Kuroko.
I mean, he's a huge douchebag, right? Like that's his whole deal. Is that like he used to be like basically Kuroko's boyfriend before he like got too good at basketball and then stopped caring about playing hard. Like there's a whole bit where like Kuroko is like, hey man, you should probably try to play basketball instead of just like only holding back because you're, you know, he like shows up late to games and shit. Like he like clearly doesn't give a fuck. And there's a bit where like he actually tried hard in one game and like they scored like 150 points to like the opposing team's like 40 or something. It was like embarrassingly bad. And he's like, well, what's the point in playing? I'm just going to obliterate everybody in front of me. Yeah. And like, that's kind of like his whole deal is like Kuroko wants to beat him to show him that like teamwork is important. I mean, that's like a very anime thing is that like, you know, together with the power of my basketball team, we can prove that it's not just one single player, that makes it, but it's the whole team. But yeah, that's kind of Almine's whole shtick.
Yes. And so there's a couple of people on Toho. There's Almine, one of my favorite side characters. I don't know his name. I don't think he has one. Just the blonde guy that hates Almine. I love him. He is he's correct and he should say it because Almine is late to everything and an asshole. And he's just screaming at the coach constantly. He's like, why do we put up with him? He sucks. Mm-hmm. He's great. And then is it the captain that wears the glasses?
Yes, it's their captain.
Okay, Toho's captain is the smarmiest piece of shit I've ever seen. He's so funny. And so when Seirin plays Toho at this is for the Inter-High qualifiers, he's like, oh no, I guess you guys, you know, Almine slept too late. He's going to be late. He's only going to be here in the second half. I guess you'll have to deal with us as the opening act. And naturally, Seirin's like, okay, we're going to score as many points as we fucking can before Almine gets here. We can do this. Even without Almine, they fucking wipe the floor with Seirin, and it is, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry, did I say we're the opening act? I just meant compared to Almine, we're still gonna wipe the floor with you, asshole.
Yeah, yeah, it's rough for Seirin, because, like, not only are they, like, a very strong team, Toho, but also Momoe has done her, like, you know, CIA-level research on all of them, so, like, she is there. They're like anticipating their strategies and moves before they make them. And they're just like, well, fuck. And then Amino shows up and it obliterates them. And like, no matter how hard Kagami tries to block him and, you know, defeat him, you know, he's just too strong. And like, I kind of like that bit because like, this is like 20 episodes in almost where they get, beaten by Toho. But like before this, like they haven't lost a single game in the show. And like they finally like you know, they're so like worn out and defeated, and then like they have an inspirational speech that kind of pull themselves together, and then they continue to play the game and they play as hard as they can even though they know they're gonna lose. And they do like this really interesting thing where they like pull the camera back and they like make the screen smaller and smaller as this like montage is going on, and they're like playing weird inspirational music underneath it, but then when the final buzzer like is called, it's 212-55. It's just like, oh my god, you were devastated.
Yeah, just completely wrecked. And by the way, Toho's main shooter is a kid who apologizes for shooting.
Yeah, the apologetic mushroom.
He's quite good. Yeah, and so at that point, you know, Toho wins, which is good, because if they kept winning, I'd be like, what the fuck is the point of the show then? And the last arc is, well, they go to summer training camp first, which is where we get introduced further to the fact that poor Riko cannot cook. She tries to make a curry and almost poisons everybody. Shout out to my incapable queen. And then at one point, Kagami teaches her how to make curry correctly, but for some reason when she serves it, it's still bad because she's pumping it full of fucking protein and vitamins.
Yeah, she's just like, wait, you're not supposed to do that? Like, God,
girl. Blend it into a smoothie. What are we doing here? So they go to their little retreat in the mountains, which is where we once again see my boy, my sweetheart, Midorima.
Yeah, I love that Midorima is, like, wearing black glasses. He's like, oh, I was just in the neighborhood. And then Kisei's there, and he's like, you don't live here.
Yeah, he's the most conspicuous person on the planet, and I love him for that very, very much.
I mean, all the fucking Generation of Miracles have, like, different colored hair. But Midorima in particular is like one of the tallest, and he looks like the Joker wherever he goes. So he's hilarious.
Yeah. But at this training camp, one of my favorite quotes is they all go, you know, it's like in the evening or whatever. Or sorry, it's in the morning. They just wake up at the training camp, and Kagami is talking, and Kuroko just appears on the scene as he tends to, and scares the shit out of Kagami, and Kagami yells at him, "Do you sneak around like that on purpose?" And Kuroko just goes, "And a good morning to you."
It's really one, good.
It's quite. They play some practice games, right?
In the summer training camp.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they play against. Is it Shotoku? I think it's Shotoku. Yeah,
they play against Shotoku. Yeah, lose.
And like they lose all three of their practice games, but I think it's because Kagami is on rest because like throughout these entire show he's been destroying his legs.
Kagami's strength training.
Yeah,
he's like running. Rest for leading up to the practices, but he's like fucking Riko has him doing laps.
Yeah, he's just running constantly on the beach, and then like by the end of it he can jump like a full foot higher. He's like, oh, weird.
Yeah, he's a little jumping bean.
Yeah, but also, like, this is a bit where, you know, Kuroko and Kagami had this big fight about how like, oh, they're not going to be strong enough to, you know, win. But then they decided that, like, well, their basketball has to evolve. So Kuroko is trying to learn how to do something besides passing, which is kind of his character arc, which is very silly. But also, like, yeah, you should probably be able to make shots, Kuroko.
Yeah, his big revelatory moment is very much he has paired himself up with somebody traditionally, and now he's like, I don't want to make you the best in Japan, I want all of us to be the best in Japan, which I think is good. I think it's a good turn for him. I wish it had come sooner than episode 22.
Yeah, it's a very, very, the pacing of the show is very strange.
It is bizarre. But then we get, weirdly, this does not end on Saren playing a game. This season ends on Kaijo, which is Kisei's team, and Toho, which is Almine's team, playing each other in the Inner High quarterfinals.
I actually like this move. I think it is very strange. But it is kind of nice for a program to be like, hey, you know who's not interesting? Our main characters. You know who is interesting? These side characters.
Which they are.
Which, you know what they are. They're cool. And it was like really fun to see Kisei, who is like our first generation of Miracles player, go up against Amine, who has like been, you know, foreshadowed to be the best, you know, generation player. And like since Kisei's whole ability is copycatting, like it takes him like until the like third quarter to like be able to fully like spin up his Sharingan, but then he is able to copy Almine, and Almine's like oh okay, I'm actually having fun now. I'm finally playing against somebody who's as good as me, which is to say me, which like fuck off Almine, but it's an interesting choice. I'm glad they made it because. Listen, sometimes your protagonist is boring. Like, I think that it has to be true of a lot of media, is that the protagonist is the least interesting character, because otherwise they have to have a character arc where they get interesting at the very end, but for a long time they kind of suck.
Yeah. Let's let that take us into our talking points. So Toho wins at the end of this. Mm-hmm. I would like to pitch to you before we get into discussing where this show succeeds and where it maybe drops the ball, as it were. I would like to pitch to you my version of Kuroko's Basketball.
Oh.
That at Crunchyroll or whoever wants to give me $1 million to produce this, I'm ready when you are. I think it needs to be Kuroko's Basketball and Yu Yu Hakusho. I think Kuroko... or the Kuroko equivalent, my green-haired anime protagonist, let's say, needs to die before the main events of the show and then come back as a spirit detective. And then that way, while they're playing basketball, he's also killing, like, demons and spirits with the basketball while they're playing games.
I see.
And, I think that's what needs to happen, because I do miss wondering if Kuroko is corporeal or not. So.
Now, Layla, this is dangerously close to the Disney Channel film Angels in the Outfield from 1994.
Okay, well, Disney, you're into remakes right now. Call me. Let's make it an anime. I'm ready.
It would be very fun for Kuroko to be like the mascot of the team, in that he died and then like he's watching over them from the Shadow Realm.
Would be very good. But you know, I mean, he would, in the Yu Yu Hakusho-esque scenario, he comes back to life and while right. he's playing, charges the basketball with his spirit. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, why'd you pass over there? What did it bounce off of? A fucking ghost.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
So he can be a weird ghost boy. You brought up the pace or the pacing of the show on its own, but also the pacing of the show versus a game of basketball. Now, Aaron, as the basketball expert of this program, what are your thoughts?
I mean, like, so it's a kind of silly comment to be like, oh, this you know, season of television is slower than a game of basketball, but like, you know, this is a very common trope in anime, right, where people will like do that inner monologue and explain to the audience what's happening. But like, there are bits where it's like, oh, we have to hit the buzzer beater. You know, we've got like 2 seconds on the clock. And they do take like several minutes to explain what the strategy is. You know, there's like slow motion bits where like they are trying to block each other, and like there's a full minute of like Almine going up into the air and Kagami going up into the air, and then like each of them trying to like increase their power to continue to go up into the air higher, and it's like,
and then they'll have a conversation in the air.
Right. Yeah. Also, notably, everybody on the court is also talking shit to each other at the same time, while also just like rivers of sweat are pouring off of them, which is very funny. But yeah, I think it is. I think it does kind of like lessen the excitement, because basketball is such a fast game. I watch basketball when it is March Madness, and you know, whenever there's like TikToks about basketball, I try to watch those. But like, you know, a very you know, a quick basketball play takes, you know, about, it takes about 10 seconds, you know, for one side of the court to turn over to the other side of the court, like for teams to, you know, change possession and make their plays. And like, you know, that's what the shot clock is for, is that like, if you're not able to make a shot within 25 seconds, like then you lose possession. And that sort of thing, like, kind of keeps the game interesting. But like, when you expand that out into anime, you get these like very long moments where like, you know, minutes of a game are like, you know, seconds in a game, even like get stretched over minutes. And it becomes very like, I do feel like it kind of loses the momentum. And it's like, okay, I know that you're like doing an inner monologue, you're doing a flashback, you're kind of like explaining to me what's happening, but it does kind of like, I am kind of losing interest in some ways.
So this is interesting because Haikyuu does the same. So we're going to be comparing a lot this to Haikyuu, right? A lot, because Haikyuu to me, I think you agree with me, is like the gold standard of team sports anime. Right. Just at least in structure, right? Like, even if you don't care about the anime or the game of volleyball, the volleyball that Hinata plays, then at the very least, you can tell it's well structured. So what I really like about Haikyuu is that it teaches you about volleyball. So a lot of the stuff that it wants to teach you happens in practice games, and they'll slow things down and explain a move, and then usually they'll focus an arc on that move or on that move set or that play. And I remember I was watching the end of season 3, and I forget what the specific context is, but the game, they're playing, and you know, they do a little bit of the like shit talking back and forth and a little bit of slowing things down between volleys, but there comes a moment where they don't stop at all. They just play the game, and then because they did such a good job of teaching you what you're looking for, they pull off the trick shot they were trying, and you know that they did it, and they didn't stop to tell you that they did it, and it's just exciting as it would be in like a real sports game. And I think Kuroko's basketball is missing some of that. I also think it's missing being in Kuroko's head more, because he's the character we hear from the least, which is weird.
Yeah, I do think that, yeah, I think that ultimately Haikyuu does a better job of showing, like, it does do some explaining, but in the end, it is a thing where, like, you spend enough time in the lead up, like, you get more, you know, interiority of them like practicing and trying to pull off these like moves, to the point where like when it actually happens in play, you kind of feel engaged and excited for that. Or like there is like definitely a larger focus on training in Haikyuu and preparing for games. So like you actually do feel, you know, like tense when they're able to pull off a play. You know, it's been a couple years since I watched Haikyuu. But I definitely felt like it was just better paced and structured in a way that got me into volleyball. Whereas a lot of the stuff that happens in Kuroko's kind of just happens spontaneously. Like, yeah. A lot of it is just like, oh, Akagami tried really hard and then he did a good job. Or like, you know, there's a bit where like Kuroko does his thing where he punches the basketball so it flies across the court, a real thing that happens in this show, and it just sort of like, it comes out of nowhere and they're like, oh, okay. So yeah, I don't know. I do think it is a strange dichotomy, because it seems like they structured the same, but like I just feel like we get more time. Like that is another thing, is that like,
is that
Kuroko's basketball very clearly telegraphs to the audience which characters it thinks you should give a shit about, right, by virtue of hair color.
Yes.
If their hair is brown or black, you don't need to know their name, which like is unfortunate, because some of those characters are like the captains of the team. But ultimately, it's like the Generation of Miracles and Kagami and some other characters that are like, okay, these guys like literally stand out. And like, you know, you can get through the entire program without knowing anything else, you know, about the rest of the team. And I think that definitely hurts the show overall, because like I still don't remember the names of anybody else on Seirin except for Ida, Kagami, and Kuroko. I guess, right, Hyuga, who's the captain, but like
Koga, our beautiful baby cat boy.
Yeah, there's a cat boy for some reason.
And he has a cat mom.
His mom also has a cat face, which is weird. Yeah, I just do feel like Haikyuu focused more on the team dynamic in a way that really is like played out during the program.
Haikyuu does it in a smart way because it pairs up a lot of people. So it's easier to learn them when they're not super, when they're not like complete individuals, because Tsukishima has his little friend and, you know, Hinata and Kageyama are together. And like, I haven't watched Haikyuu in ages and I still remember like a lot of the names, and I still need to watch season four because I didn't watch season four because I was like, I don't want this to be over because I like this so much. And now it's been years and I should probably just go ahead and watch season four. Yeah, it just doesn't do enough to like, let me live with the characters and their ambitions and their struggles right now. And I think it's a perfectly fine plot arc to say, here's this high school basketball team. They're in way over their heads. And they started out pretty unambitious and just wanted to play, but now they have like goals. And having that moment where they establish their goals and are all working together towards them, I think that would have been a fine season one arc. We didn't really get that too much. We also just, you mentioned punching the basketball. The show doesn't know if it wants to commit to real basketball or like anime basketball. And so it's in this like uncanny valley of, it's not explaining the rules of real basketball to us, but it's also doing shit that's like borderline Dragon Ball Z. And therefore it's not doing any, it's odd. I can't get a sense for it. It's doing too much and not enough at the same time. So in that sense, I found myself, as I was watching the episodes, I was like, I want to be more invested in this because I like Kagami and Kuroko a lot. I think they're fun. I like a lot of the other characters a lot, but I'm just like, if they're playing basketball, I'm kind of bored because I don't have anything teaching me what I should be looking at.
Yeah, I definitely also feel similarly that Kuroko's doesn't spend enough time like in the game of basketball. It's much more interested in those one-on-ones. Again, because it is like, you hear the two characters and the, like the personal or like philosophical conflicts that they're having, like Kisei versus Almine, right? You know, them having these flashbacks to like him training him and like being like, here's, you know, this is what we were like in middle school, and here's what we're like now. And like, it is a lot more of these like one-on-one conversations that kind of pit themselves against each other and not actually basketball. Like, a lot of it is just like, and then he juked him out, and that whole sequence takes 2 minutes. It's like, oh man, I can't believe Almine juked me out like that. I gotta keep powering up my copycat ability. Anyway, the reason that I was so good at copycatting is because when I've always been like that, and in middle school, you know, I was so good at the soccer club and everybody loved me so much, and then one day I passed the gym and Almine was there, and I was like, wow, Amino is there. This is great. And maybe I should join the basketball team. And after 2 weeks, I got promoted to the starter squad. But then I had to, and like, it just goes on and on. It's just like, ah, where are we going with this? Come on. Like, and I, perhaps some of that is the structure of being, you know, in anime as opposed to manga. I think maybe the manga is paced a little bit better. I can't say. But it is weird.
Like,
it is weird
it
that
for
it's
science.
Right. It is weird that it's structured this way.
I think there's something at the core of this that I really like, which is the characters are really charming. And I, even as a person who doesn't really do sports fandom in real life, my exposure to sports is I get really intense about ice skating every 4 years at the Olympics. That's like kind of about it. And I live in a hockey town and a football town. So like, you know, basketball is pretty foreign to me. But even as that, I'm pretty interested in, like, what's going on in the basketball. But Kuroko's basketball doesn't commit enough to any of its ideas for me to want to watch more than one season of it for this podcast. But, like, I mean, it's not enjoyable, right? It's just that, right, unfortunately, when you're standing next to Haikyuu, it's hard to impress.
It's a high bar. You know, structure is really important in storytelling, and when you have to stretch it out over, you know, a manga or a TV show, it is hard to do right. I think there's a lot of stuff I enjoy about Kuroko's basketball. But
what,
yeah, ultimately,
the basketball which Kuroko plays.
I mean, I think that's like ultimately the question at the heart of the show is like them trying to define the kind of basketball that Kuroko does play, because they bring up that phrase a lot, which is like, you know, your basketball, referring to the kind of basketball that Kuroko plays, which is to say passing is not sufficient. It has to be, you know, only me, only one super strong player, which is very silly. But yeah, I like this show a lot. I don't know that it's fundamentally trying to do anything that's that different than what Haikyuu is trying to do. I just think that Haikyuu pulls it off better, unfortunately.
I think the difference, but the key difference that what this is trying to do that Haikyuu isn't trying to do is, I don't know if you've noticed, but in the dichotomy of Naruto's and Sasuke's, this show has way more Sasuke's.
It does have like six Sasuke's as compared to one Naruto, which is to say Kuroko.
Yeah. So I do think it's trying to take a different tone, that more like edgy, you know, like 2010s, like normal is a setting on the washing machine, kind of like, you know, edgelord fucking shit, which is fine. There's room for that. I like that. But it's not compelling enough to me. I'm not getting enough interiority to like buy into it.
Yeah, I do. I feel like we got a lot of interiority is the thing. I feel like we got Kuroko's interiority, we got Kagami's interiority, and we got every single member of the Generations of Miracles interiority. It just like wasn't that interesting.
Where we got a lot of length of interiority, we did not get a lot of density of interiority.
Not a lot of depth, yeah. It was basically just like a long series of like, I have to rely only on myself, and Kuroko being like... Actually, do we get Kuroko's interiority at all? We might not.
No, that's what I'm saying!
I see, that's right. And, like, that is kind of an interesting trick. I really do like a lot of, like, some of the structure of this show is very interesting, like, which is, like, Kuroko is ostensibly the main character, and we don't know what's going on, unless he says it out loud. Like, he does, the voice actor does such, like, a good job of making him seem... like you said at the beginning, like having the personality of drywall, that like it is just like, why is this guy here? And it's like, oh, because deep down beneath it all, he's kind of a good guy. And I like that they're doing that. I just don't think that they executed as well as they could have.
No, and I think the most interesting that Kuroko is as a character is when he's faced with these old Generation of Miracles like rivals. And when we start to see that he was kind of traumatized by his experience with them, not in like a deep way, but in a, you know, he has some habits he picked up from them, where like he immediately with Kagami was like, all right, I'll be your shadow, which was just like a thing, the only thing he knew how to do. Mm-hmm. And so being, I wish they had pushed more him on his own, seeing the value of teamwork and driving Saren to that goal. While, and then kind of getting too lost in it and then having to pull back and work on his individual goals, I think that would have been really compelling, right? Because it would have taken this stereotype of like the quote unquote Naruto wanting everybody to work as a team and defeat everybody with teamwork and saying, no, you have to balance, you have to bring something to the team that it has to be more than passing. So I know, you know, Kuroko's basketball is, I think, over at this point, but like, you know, if we're taking notes here, for future sports anime, that's my hot take.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Let's see. I think that's basically it. Layla, when we are not giving out great commentaries on how to make your sports anime a little bit more sporty. Maybe not less more sporty, but more character driven in the sportiness. Where can we be found on the internet?
You can find me at LEYLSES on Blue Sky and Tumblr. And on Mondays, some Wednesdays, some Fridays, depending on our rotating schedule, you can find me at 5:40 p.m. Pacific on the Silent Hill Ascension app, where you can see my face and I discuss the Silent Hill Ascension plot with my coworkers for work. So that's kind of all I'm doing right now. I am in the middle of moving and doing a bunch of other stuff, but I have some plans for the year for some creative endeavors. I will say more when they start getting made. And what about you?
I am on Blue Sky at AA Voight, and at AA Voight on YouTube. Where I make video essays about tabletop games. I'm currently deep in the production for the most important essay in RPG history, which will come out in probably like late March. So please keep an eye on my channel for that. It's going to change the way you view probably your entire life. Our theme song is Obsolete by Keshko from the album Filmmakers Reference Kit Volume 2. You can find more of their music at keshko.bandcamp.com. Layla, how should we close out this here episode?
Aaron, I'm sure you've heard about Tiger Woods or Shaq.
I sure have. We'll see you all next time. Fuck, I forgot they said that.